Love this podcast? Support this show through the Acast Supporter feature. It's up to you how much you give and there's no regular commitment. Just hit the link in the show description to support now.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here, and it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
We're off.
Okay.
Good morning, Running Commentary.
Morning.
We have a guest, Rob.
Yes.
We have a guest. Good morning to Louise Brecken Richards.
Morning, Louise.
Good morning.
And it's sort of a theatrical special, isn't it? Should we call it that?
Yeah, we can call it that.
Darling.
Yeah, good.
Yes.
We're going to do a shortish sort of 35-minute run around the...
Which way are we going to go? Up the Parkland Walk?
We're going to go up the Parkland Walk. Yeah, just nice and easy.
This is a classic runabouts, Louise.
Oh,
you'll
good.
Like this.
Good. Well, I've never done it.
Oh, brilliant.
Well, I often go through Highgate Woods, but I've not come this way before, so...
No, you'll like this.
Yeah.
So, but yeah, the reason that we wanted to talk to you is because you have what we understand is to be a fascinating running-related story.
Here we go, down here.
I do. Yes. I had some issues with my voice about 5 years ago.
Right.
And I'm a trained actress. I went to Guildhall School of Music and Drama. Used to do a lot of musicals, but also TV and film.
Yeah.
And then one day...
So your voice is pretty important then?
Yeah. Yeah, it's kind of my livelihood.
Yeah.
Bit like
your,
Rob.
Your instrument, if you will.
It is my instrument.
Yeah.
Exactly. And then I just had these issues with it where it was getting croaky and I was running out of breath.
Yeah.
And thought it was just like tonsillitis or a cold. Went on and then had further investigations and they found that there was a kind of hole on the vocal fold.
Right.
Something called a sulcus vocalis.
Sulcus vocalis.
Yes. Sounds
or
very posh,
you say it.
Sulcus
vocalis. Vocalis vocalis.
He's got a thing because whenever I say vegan, he goes, it's vegan.
Vegan,
and
vegan.
I never understand what's going on for about a second.
Yeah. That sounds bad.
Yeah, it's kind of like a little hole on the vocal fold, which meant that your vocal folds don't come together properly and then you can't speak because your vocal folds need to close.
Yeah, right.
So it was a really devastating time, but around this time I took up running.
Yeah.
So kids were very young. Youngest had just started school, so it was an ideal time to, you know, just start doing a few little runs around the block.
Yeah. How old were you, if you don't mind me asking?
No,
when you started running.
I was 33.
Yeah.
So good time.
And you hadn't done... Had you done any running before then?
You know what? A little bit of cross country.
Yeah.
Did a 10K about 8 years before that, but...
Because I know this is interesting with us, because he's always... You've always run, haven't you, since the beginning of time?
Off
and whereas
on.
I didn't pick it up till north of 35.
Oh, really?
So always an interesting frame of reference for me.
It's interesting. A lot of people seem to find it later on now, don't they?
Yeah. But conversely, I think it's kind of got to be there. I feel some people start running and they're like, I hate it. It's like, well, you've kind of got to, even though I never did it, I can look back now and see the kind of latent need to run was there somewhere. You know?
And the fact you'd done a sort of the odd cross country or whatever.
Yeah, and I had a mate called Rachel Woody. She was one of my best mates in school and she was a champion cross country runner.
Right.
So she did used to take me out a few times when we were really young.
Right.
But I've always really admired her. And my friend Caroline and Tash, they've always been very fit and done marathons, but my 20s were mostly smoking Marlboro and getting drunk.
Which is another great fitness regime.
Yeah, yeah.
I wonder if that had any effect on your locus vocalis.
Well, apparently not.
Yep.
And that it's something that I might have had since puberty. The missing bit of tissue on the vocal fold.
Yeah.
Right.
Or it might have been always there. It might have been congenital. And that something in your life exacerbates it.
Right.
And it's like a tipping point.
So you go over the bump like a petrol light once it's gone.
Yeah. And so whether it's helped to heal it or not, the running just gave me a bit more breath. But also it was a stress reliever.
Yeah, oh, absolutely.
And it just put me back in my body a little bit because I felt really down and low about it, and like I was floating away a bit, you know.
Yeah.
And disappearing as an actress.
Well, I totally know where you're coming from with the voice thing. I find that I haven't got any kind of anything bad or diagnosed, but I've lost a voice from kind of singing and stuff, and particularly back in the day, doing lots of singing in smoky rooms and poor technique and stuff like that.
Yeah.
But also, my voice is like a barometer. It's so directly linked to stress.
Yes.
Because, and I think it's so obvious really, because you kind of, it's that thing of being stressed and high and holding yourself differently.
Yeah.
And just using your muscles all wrong.
Yes.
And so and running really helps you think about that stuff.
Oh yeah. It does. I mean, we chatted as part of our research of the show, we chatted to somebody called Michael Usher, who's looked into sport and stress and chemicals that are released, and he said that, you know, if you're training for a race or a marathon, then your body wants to relax all the other parts of your body, so actually your throat automatically would relax so that you can focus on your legs.
Yeah, right.
Yeah, from the leg motion.
That's brilliant.
Of course, ironically, this show's manages to combine concentration on the legs with stressing the throat.
Yeah.
It's like the perfect. Yeah. It's like the perfect
storm.
But this
is the best sort of run.
We never release the
stressful scenario.
The shouting and falsettos episodes. Yeah.
You trust it with a mic. You've never done it before. You're running with two blokes you've never met through the woods, and you've got to talk all the time.
I know. Presuming I'm safe.
Although I think I've said this, running commentary listeners will have heard this before. But people always say, "How do you do it?" But I think, talking of what the body does, I got this theory that we've never had confirmed, that we are primarily geared up to be able to talk and run, that breathing rhythm. You need a level of fitness.
Yeah.
But in terms of the actual rhythm of the thing, we know how to do it naturally.
Oh, yeah, definitely.
Because we used to talk and run when we were hunting.
Yeah.
Yeah. Exactly.
See that mountain
over
there.
Gazelle.
Yes. Yeah, yeah.
Get that bird over there quick.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah.
No, it is. It's the most primal thing.
Yeah.
I think. And I often run with friends, actually. There's a few mums from school that I run with. We drop the kids off.
Yeah.
And if any of us are not working and free,
it's nice,
and we go
nice
for a run.
Date, yeah.
And we often don't actually even look at each other, but we're just side by side. And there's something so relaxing about chatting and doing something at the same time.
Yes.
And we find that we have quite philosophical conversations and put the world to rights.
Well, this is it. This is the entire theory of running commentary. As Paul said, you know, that when you get running, you get kind of beyond just reporting on what you've been up to and comparing notes on the day. And you dig a bit deeper.
Yeah, definitely.
And I think maybe it's interesting what you're saying, because I think part of it is just the physicality of the thing.
Yes.
You're loosening your muscles, you're opening up. As you say, we're all walking. None of us are looking at each other. We're just running forwards. And and I don't know if you've ever experienced this, when you're talking on the phone, but you're on hands-free.
Right.
And you just find yourself really opening up.
Yes.
I saw someone walking down the road the other day, and she's going, "Yeah, well, I'll talk to you later." You just think, this person is expressing themselves more.
Yes. No, but that's why people love the hands-free. People ridicule it, don't they? They say, who do they think they are, kind of thing. But it feels cool.
Yeah.
But it only feels cool because you're expressing yourself better.
Yeah.
You're not hunched up over a phone physically holding it to your ear.
Although, having said that, the little apprentice holding your phone flat just in front of your mouth, that is a total waste of time, isn't it?
I suppose so, yeah.
But why bother?
People do that a lot.
I know.
But I've got you on speakerphone so everyone on the bus can hear you.
Yeah.
Hands-free on the when you're driving is good fun as well.
Yeah.
When you're just shouting into an empty vehicle and people respond, that makes me feel cool.
Oh, watch out.
Hurl it onto my son's lap. That's what I normally do.
Yeah, yeah.
Take the phone. Call your dad. Traffic lights. Yeah.
So you started running then, and you immediately Did it immediately feel better? Was it a gradual thing?
No, it was definitely a gradual thing.
Right.
Yeah.
It was like a...
And where was your voice at? Were you kind of unable to perform, or were you unable to kind of speak?
So at its worst, I would go out for a night out and I wouldn't be able to speak the next day.
Yeah.
Because I was literally like that.
Right.
Taking so much breath.
Yeah.
To make a sound. So it also put me into hibernation a little bit as well.
And it is, because it tenses you up, doesn't it? The worse it gets, the more it stresses you out, the worse it becomes.
Yeah.
So it was affecting...
Everything,
it was just making you a bit depressed, I'd imagine.
Yeah.
And anxious
then,
and
yeah.
isolated.
Very isolated, yeah. And sort of displaced, really, because it's one thing not being able to have the ability to use your voice to perform, but it's another thing when it starts filtering into your daily life as well. So
yeah, you want to express
two
yourself.
Two very young boys.
Communicate.
Trying to communicate with them, you know.
Yes, yeah.
Dangerous situations where they're crossing the road and you can't shout.
Yeah, yeah.
Stop!
Yeah, we really do take it for granted.
Absolutely.
You know, it's like... So, I guess the running was just a little place where I could go where, A, I didn't have to speak to anybody at first.
Yeah.
B, I was finding another muscle that was actually gradually getting stronger.
Yep, yep.
And C, you know, the chemicals that were being released... It just put my mind in a much better place as well.
Right. Do you think it was more kind of physical or more psychological? Was it totally both at once?
We're going to go up here, do a little loop, and then back. Are you okay with this?
Yeah.
Coming up off
the
park and walk here.
We don't get a picture
of these guys going out of the gate. You're going to have to fake it up because I failed to selfie. Like, pretend to run. Good. That's it. They'll all fall for
I've been doing a lot of that pretend running.
You did same arm, same leg. It's a mistake.
The actual problem was definitely a physiological problem.
Yeah.
Right.
But the healing after, I think a lot of the rebuilding of confidence was psychological, you know.
Yeah.
Right.
Feeling like, you know, I could use it again. And it did take a long time, the healing, so...
And I think also the other side of that for me is running teaches you that when you use your muscles, you're not necessarily breaking them. You know, if you come back from a run and you've got an ache, it doesn't mean you've permanently damaged your leg. It means you've been using your leg.
Yeah.
So, and I use that with regard to my voice. If I do 2 hours of singing, then the next day I know I've been singing.
Yes.
But back in the day, I would have thought, oh, no, I've ruined it.
Yeah.
Was now, I know that I've just been exercising it.
Yeah.
You know?
Well, it's funny because you do all that stuff in drama college of looking after your voice.
Yeah.
But ironically, you're not looking after it. You're going out and you're drinking and smoking.
Yes,
and,
yeah. Slagging off the tubes.
But equally, if you don't do that stuff at drama college, you're really not doing it properly.
Exactly. You've got to be a student as well, haven't you?
Yeah, yeah.
Paul's crossed the road. He's just gone.
He's gone.
I think we should wait for these vans.
Yeah.
So yeah, we're just coming up Jackson's Lane, Highgate, and we're going to go into, what's this one, Queenswood?
So this is Queenswood here, isn't it?
Into Queenswood.
This is the Parkland Walk, isn't it?
Yeah. So the Parkland Walk was the railway bit there. We love it.
So the biggest turning point was deciding to run the London Marathon. And
when did you decide to do that?
So that was after the operation and during the healing process. So
yeah,
okay.
That felt like a great challenge to give myself after it all happened.
Yep.
And I wrote a blog during the same time.
Right.
So again, it was just, I was distracting myself all the time from what was really going on.
Yeah.
And it seemed to work, you know.
Yeah, absolutely.
Careful, come down here a little bit. It's a bit sort of slippery at this time.
Hiya, thank you.
Cheers.
Here she comes, got you.
Oh. These leggings are terrible. They always slip down, these ones.
I'm fumbling this.
These leggings.
Are you losing your leggings?
Everybody's got one pair.
That's another story to tell.
Here we go.
Yeah.
So, wait a minute. So, but let's get it clear for our listeners. So, you are now telling this story in a play.
So, what happened was, I joined a playwriting class years ago, about 4 or 5 years ago.
Uh-huh.
And I had this idea, and then I met this other writer called Joe Harper, who's a playwright. and told her about my blog and what had happened in the note, but it just felt a bit too close to me to write, and a bit narcissistic.
Okay.
Self-indulgent.
Well, it's probably, in a way, it's like you need someone else's perspective to get that it isn't just your stuff.
Yeah. No, but it's also your... Whereabouts are you from?
I'm from North Wales.
It's someone from North Wales, isn't it? I mean, if you're born in Hampstead, you wouldn't consider it indulgent at all. that's a cultural thing. It's absolute nonsense. What people do. Things happen in their lives and they write about them.
Yeah.
But it's like, I know exactly what you're saying.
It's like, why would anybody want to hear that?
Completely.
I wasn't dying, you know.
Yeah, of course. But in fact, you were being challenged, weren't you?
Yeah,
your way of life and who you were.
Yeah, my whole life had been turned upside down.
And it's got that wonderful thing of story where you take something really specific that I'm sure, you know, I've never heard of someone who's lived through the same story as you, and yet it seems eminently relatable. I'm sure people have got parallel situations in their own lives.
I think so. I think there's an element of a universal theme of loss in it.
Yeah.
Of any loss that you have in your life and how you overcome it.
Yes, how you keep moving forward.
How you keep putting, literally, one foot in front of the other.
Yeah, here we go, left hand.
Well, I love the fact that you use the London Marathon in that way, because I think that's what it's for, you know?
Yeah.
For all the...
Of course, we're assuming that it went well. I mean, it could have gone really bad. Yeah, she loses her voice at the 18-mile water step.
Exactly.
Help! Help! I need a sponge!
Exactly. There was definitely a moment where I get really cross and I nearly didn't do it. I think it was mile 21 or something.
Yeah.
Oh, wow, you got cross. You can get really cross in the marathon. Here we go, down.
When the crowd starts saying, you know, oh, come on,
Louise.
You're nearly there, and you go, I'm not nearly there.
Yeah, yeah. Oh, yeah, absolutely. It's a blood sugar thing, I think. You're like,
6 miles,
you don't know me.
Yes.
That's easy for you to say.
You're not good enough.
You
should be writing a play about this. How narcissistic can you get?
Yeah, that's rubbish. Yeah,
no, it can bring up all your stuff, marathons.
Yeah.
It's tough.
Yeah.
It's really hard.
Yeah, but it's a great process and I found the training process amazing, actually, just to be able to tick off those training runs.
Yeah,
yeah.
And have that sort of sense of completion about
it. It's amazing, it's great. And it's something that you can kind of control and manage and do within reason, isn't it?
Yeah,
you
know,
look at it and plan it and do it.
Exactly. Where are the things in your life?
Especially for an actor or for us as comics, you're not waiting for phone calls that you can't control or whatever.
Yeah.
You can get
hold of it, you know?
Yeah.
Yep.
Exactly.
No one's going to do it for you.
So we're going to go down here, little
you're
loop and then back.
You're not answerable to anybody, are you, really? You're in control of your own mind.
And even yourself, you know, I think once you're running, I was talking about this in a different context with someone else the other day, that you can kind of ignore your own emotions.
Yeah.
You know, if you're completely committed to running that 10 miles or that 60 miles, then when you get to 8-9 miles and you think, oh, I'm aching or, oh, I'm not enjoying this, then the other part of yourself says, so...
Yeah.
We're still doing it.
You're still doing it. You've still got to finish it.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, to put that big tick off your training.
And that's a fantastic, to reduce, even within your own mind, your own kind of input is so de-stressing.
To take yourself out of your own headspace, I think that's what's really important for me. Yeah, like you say, to not look so inward.
Yeah.
Yes. Yeah.
Well, I think that's for me, in a sort of subtle way that is really hard to quantify, that is the main thing that running did in my life. You know, I'm a born-again runner and an evangelist for anyone who wants to.
Yeah.
And
when did you come to running then?
Yeah, it's like 2008, so I was a good 35 or maybe older.
Yeah.
And I think that it's just... You just, like you say, you just externalise. That's the fundamental difference. And it's in some ways, it's really subtle. Like, I went on doing comedy. At that time, I would have been doing the same material.
Yeah.
But it was immediately different because instead of being in this little kind of camera position inside my head, like the alien guy in Men in Black, who turns out to be kind of steering the whole body, I was actually in my body, in the world.
Yeah.
And that makes you externalise. It just puts you out there somehow.
Definitely. Well, we did a lot of exploring. This is when chatting to Steve Kirkham
about
the movement and the element of running in the piece, really trying to get to the bottom of what it is that makes you feel a bit more connected to yourself, because it's quite a tricky one to show on stage.
Yeah.
Yes, here we go, we're going up here.
And what we came down to is that actually it's kind of like feeling really connected to the ground, that when you feel anxious or stressed, you often feel very light and like you're floating away, or like you're
disconnected.
You're totally disconnected. And I think when you lose your voice as well, you feel that even more. But there's something about pounding on the floor.
Yes.
And it sounds really hippie-ish, but it's a connection to the earth. And
yeah, you're kind of course it is.
You know, suddenly you feel solid again, you know.
And that's why it's
rooted, grounded, as people
exactly,
say.
Exactly.
Well, it's different for different people, but that's why I like running through the woods.
Yeah.
So it just feels even more natural. It feels another level of connection.
Yeah.
As opposed to...
No, and next to water, I was running the other day, I was running along by a river. It was the River Clyde in Glasgow. And I was thinking, I had this big plan to go around this park here and go around there. And I thought, no, just stay next to this river.
Yeah.
Because it's feeding your soul, you know.
Yeah.
Sometimes I like to take that step further and jump into the river.
Yeah, yeah.
Just like for that connection.
And then
that extra level of...
yeah.
While screaming, I'm connected! I'm connected!
And now I'm wet!
I'm wet!
And now I'm cold!
I'm cold! I've lost my voice!
Yeah. Oh, no. Yeah. In full circle again.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah. So how long have you been working on the plane?
So we started, believe it or not, 2 years ago.
Wow.
We did a small scratch night showing of it, 15 minutes. And then we got Arts Council funding last year to research and develop it.
I'm glad one can still get that.
Oh, yeah. So grateful. It was amazing.
Yeah.
And that gave us the opportunity to go back to the hospital and chat to the voice specialist.
Wow.
And then we got awarded further Arts Council in May.
There's a robin in there, some chase there.
Oh, wow.
Sorry, yeah, go on.
Towards full production. So it's, I guess it's been in the making 2 or 3 years.
Yeah.
Which feels even more satisfying then, you know.
Yeah, and I think it shows that, you know, that's a good process. It's a healthy process, isn't it?
Exactly.
And you've done the marathon before all that.
I did the marathon before that, but I still run a lot now, and I did a half in March. Because I think it's important to keep that ticking
over.
You
want to stay in touch with that, yeah.
Yeah, because...
Which half?
The North... The London Vitality.
Oh, the one out of Wembley.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
So it was good.
Yeah.
But funnily enough, I've been doing less running because I've been talking about running.
Yeah, of course, yeah, we can get like that.
And do creative running.
I think you're trying to avoid the phrase pretend running.
Yeah, I have used that actually. I've used it a few times because, yeah. Pretend running and then doing real running, you're like, oh yeah, I'd forgotten about the real running actually.
Yeah, yeah.
Did a 10K on Sunday.
What, that race in Victoria Park?
Women's running, Finsbury Park.
Finsbury Park, sorry, yeah.
Which is a great event.
I'd like to do that actually. Do you see a problem with that?
You could put a wig on, couldn't you? And I just put a tutu on.
Last year I was the fastest woman over 40 in Crouch End.
Really?
Yeah. Rob ended up taking my wife's number because she didn't turn up on the day.
Did they let you do it?
Anyway, let's move on. Anyway, all was going well until he won best over 40 female. Much to the consternation of my wife's mates.
Yeah. True.
Yeah, it is true.
It's
true. So this is a particularly. I just really like this bit of the run, Rob, where you've got all these wild trails. I feel like I'm on the set of Jurassic Park.
It really opens up, doesn't it? And we're just catching the last. All the leaves here are still green, but they're the last of it, aren't they? You can see that the glow's gone out of them, and they'll all be going brown and falling off.
I feel like some sort of T-Rex is going to come bounding through.
It's great we've got this in London, isn't it?
It's amazing.
Yeah, we're really good on our green space.
We're so spoilt with green, aren't we?
Absolutely. And even in other towns in England, I think they sort of it's much harder to keep spaces like this safe.
Yeah.
And just the other day, we went past a place near High Wycombe where used to be a swimming pool and a sports field, and that's literally just a big grey box.
I know.
We've been very sarcastic about it and laying out some old memories.
Yeah.
But this is still here.
Yeah. I've got very attached to this area, actually. I've got Ali Pally and...
Yeah, it's beautiful.
...woods.
Yeah. So this is where you come. You go to Highgate Woods.
Yeah, so, well, all over, actually. Ali Pally.
Yeah.
I sometimes go up the other way and go around Broomfield and Trent Parkway, you know, that way.
Very nice.
But never short of routes. I'm a bit boring. I do tend to stick to similar route.
It's quite nice to find a route that you like and kind of.
It helps you
put
a lot.
Your print on it, doesn't it?
Yeah.
It's like you put your groove on it, don't you?
Yeah, and if you know where you're going, it's much easier to just forget, you know, to just really unlock and kind of just
get to the pace.
Which is funny because then you're kind of floating again, but floating and grounded both at once.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. This is quite nice though, being led somewhere else without having to think too much.
Yeah, yeah, that's right.
But, oh, where are we going now? Yeah.
The only trouble is then you come out of the woods and you run into the road.
Yeah.
I'm so free, I'm so relaxed.
Tragedy, yeah, just before the show opens, yeah.
Our friend Susie Chan, who's a very impressive ultra runner who's been over mountains and through rivers with caimans in and eaten by insects and things like this, said that nearly getting run over around the back of Regent's Park when she was out chatting to us is the most dangerous thing she's ever done. I'm sorry, Susie.
Oh, that's a classic, isn't it? Yeah. So I don't know if I'd be brave enough to do those ultra marathons. I don't know.
We'd like to at some stage, but we've come to the conclusion you've got to be really, really fit to do them.
Yeah.
The desert ones don't be any good. But I quite like the idea of doing those mountainous ones, you know, where...
The trails.
Yeah, yeah, definitely. Through France and...
Yeah, that sounds good. And the ones they do here, like the Race to the Stones, which goes through the... right across the Cotswolds and Chilterns.
Yeah.
Or, I don't know, somewhere. Would you do London again?
I would. Yeah, I think I would do. Yeah.
Will you do London again?
Well, I'm thinking I'm 44 now. I was thinking maybe when I'm 50.
Right, okay.
Just to kind of mark that year and go.
Yeah, you know. I know what you mean, but I also think that, you know, with. Yeah.
This is Paige, the co-host of Giggly Squad, and I want to tell you about a company that I've been loving, Olive and June. Olive and June gives you everything that you need for a salon quality manicure in one box. And if you break it down, it really comes out to $2 a manicure, which is absolutely insane. It's also so easy to get salon-worthy nails at home with Olive and June. The difference between how your nails used to look when you did them yourself and now with the Manny system is a complete game changer. The best thing about Olive and June, too, is it's a quick dry. It dries in about 1 minute, lasts for 5 days, and full coverage in up to 1 to 2 coats. Visit oliveandjune.com/perfectmanny20 for 20% off your first system. That's oliveandjune.com/perfectmanny20 for 20% off your first system.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
Cool fact, a crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Also, you can get health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. United Healthcare short-term insurance plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage for you. Learn more at uh1.com.
It's nice to run when you're running, you know.
Yeah.
I remember when I first started running, I thought I'd do the New York Marathon when I'm 50.
Yeah.
And now I think I should probably do it. Probably
do it
next
year.
Just do
it. Just do it. Yeah.
I'd like to do that next year. Let's go.
Yeah. Kind of the half felt like a nice distance to do, you know, just as a kind of...
It's a real run, isn't it, a half?
It's long enough, but without...
Yeah.
It's not going to hurt you too much.
Yeah, and because we do, you know... multiple marathons, people are like, oh, it's just a half, and I'm not having that. A half marathon is a real serious run.
You feel it, don't you?
Yeah, you go over that bump, you know, you have to get to that point where your fuel's all gone and you've run further than you would normally be used to and really go into that zone.
Yeah, but in some ways, I wish I'd found running a bit earlier in life, but then I probably wouldn't change it either, you know, it's kind of, I kind of think, oh, if I would have started running in my 20s, my fitness would have been amazing.
Yeah,
but then
but it's different
you
as
do
well.
It when you do it, don't you?
I think in a way you can kind of dismiss it, like, I'm really fit, I can go really fast. But also, you can get injured in different ways, you know.
It's nice to hit it fresh in your 40s, you know, because a lot of runners who've run since their 20s, they get loads of little injuries and loads of... And also, they get to that thing of... they're never going to get any faster.
Yeah.
But when you come to it later, you can get faster for quite a while.
Really?
Yeah. Yeah,
because you get better.
Because you're getting better and fitter.
Yeah.
And, you know, but if you set all your PBs in your 20s, you're not going to get faster in your 40s.
No, that's right. That's true. Well, sometimes I talk to you about your PBs. I was like, oh, what is your PB? And it's like, well, because your half marathon PB is like, you know, about 20 minutes or something.
78. My half marathon's 78.
78 minutes?
Yeah.
So fast.
But yeah, that's basically home and watch the film when the rest of us come in.
But that's 6 minute miles, isn't it? But that was also when I was like, you know, not I think I did that when I was 17.
Yeah,
I'm not going to get faster than
Thank
that.
Thank you.
What about your marathon PB? What's your?
It's 3:09. Which I'd like to.
But
like
this is quite fun for Paul because he was. That's from a few, not that long ago, but a couple of years ago. But you came close to that this year.
Yeah, I did 3:10 this year.
Whoa.
In London, so.
Whoa.
The marathon PB is one where I think I can actually beat, actually.
That's amazing.
But generally, you're not going to get faster.
No.
But you could, that's the thing.
Yeah.
You could.
Yeah. I could have done
faster. If you can be bothered, if you want to.
Yeah,
you, know, it's
you
up
have
to you.
Put the work in, don't you?
Yeah. I mean, I'm slightly holding off the London chat because I assume that's a bit of a big part of the play.
Yes.
Right.
Yeah, I suppose
Good.
So, yeah.
Yeah, yeah, it's
like accidentally get onto that rope thing. What have I said to you about accidentally getting onto that and swinging off? She didn't even mean to.
No.
See, when they have those at mile 22, that is a real...
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, what are we... We don't want any plot spoilers, but obviously...
No,
your play story,
yeah.
The go.
There's a kind of, well, there's two strands of the story. There's a will she or won't she fully heal a voice?
Yeah.
And will she or won't she? I'm talking in like third person. It's a bit weird, isn't it?
No, that's fair enough.
That's right. It's only right. Rob Deering does that.
And will she complete the marathon? It's so weird because it's like a fictionalized, part true story of yourself. Again, sounds really narcissistic, but. It's the weirdest
it's
thing.
It's what art is.
Yeah.
It's fine.
Yeah. Right. It's all right. Well, they're so Welsh about these
they
things.
They say write what you know, don't they?
Yeah. But well, it's interesting what you were saying earlier, though. There is that element of, you know.
The Welsh thing, definitely.
It's like, right, get on with it, you know.
Yeah.
That happened.
Yes.
Right, you know, so. But, yeah, there's the two will she or won't she stories in it. And.
And in terms of drama, you've got the double challenge of staging running and staging someone who can't talk.
And that's where Steve Kirkham is absolutely brilliant because...
Steve, just to give a bit of background, Steve Kirkham, he's a guy who's worked really high up in dance theatre for years and years. And he's also a good mate of mine, which is our sort of connection.
Yeah.
Very talented man, very talented
Very,
dancer.
Very talented. Well, we've got two Steves. We've got Steve Griot, who's the main director...
Right.
Who's really brilliantly creative and imaginative and brings a real honesty and truth to the story.
Not imaginative enough to have a different name, though.
No. Two Steves, what's the name?
Two Steves.
And then Steve Kirkham, who was kind of a missing link that we needed in the show, really, which was, how do you show running on stage?
Yeah.
How do you actually express running? You know, it's like...
A lot of people, when they see Kirky for the first time, think of the missing link. It's bizarre. Little... It just happens.
But,
but also I think that it's interesting, isn't it, in terms of staging things that are potentially, well, it's potentially difficult to stage something that you haven't got the space for, but actually, of course, that's what theatre's for, you know?
Yeah.
It's not a photo.
No.
So you can literally do whatever you like. That's the point.
Yeah.
And those problems are what lead to good drama.
Yeah, and actually showing things physically on stage, what Steve Kirkham was great about was saying, we're interested, we want to watch.
Yeah.
Don't apologise for that.
Yeah.
And he'll be good on the movement and the stretching you and all that.
Yeah,
and sort of
exactly.
Literally stretching you.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Well, I told him the next day I couldn't move after the first day being here.
Yeah.
Brilliant. So hopefully runners will really enjoy it. But also, you know, general theatre goers will as well. But we're really keen to get runners in.
Yeah.
Because it's not often there's a crossover between
running
and theatre.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, sport and theatre.
Well, it's a little bit social media, but I saw a link on the Heathside page because I'm in London.
You go.
I'm in London, Heathside, and they're putting a link on it, so...
That's right.
Trying to share it with people.
Yeah.
Tell us now, what's the play called and where's it on? Let's get the details.
So, it's called Can You Hear Me Running? And it's on at the Pleasance Theatre, 4th of October till the 23rd.
Right.
And there's Tuesday to Sunday, There's 8 o'clock shows. Okay. There's also two matinees on the last two Thursdays at 1 o'clock.
Right.
And Sundays at 5:30.
Okay, very good. North London's lovely Pleasance.
Yeah, it's
which
nice.
Is a great space.
It's in their stage space.
All right, mate. Yeah.
You know the stage space. You both know that anyway.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, so.
It's very nice.
Which is, I think, right for a one-person show.
That's right. No, it's a lovely little theatre.
It's intimate, isn't it?
Very nice.
Yeah. So you've both played there, right, presumably.
Yeah, I've done some Edinburgh previews and a couple of beat this in there. I did do one incredible show where there was no audience. And then just before showtime, a minibus full of adults with medium to severe learning difficulties came.
Right.
And what, it was such a great show.
Oh. Right.
Changed my life.
Yeah.
All my, talking of narcissism, you know, all my big ideas of all my, it was like an essay this show had written. And I was like, and this is what I think about this.
Yeah.
And I just had to dump it and do a show for these guys who were really up for it, discerning audience.
Yeah.
And I've never looked back. So think of that was another interesting dramatic experience in that room.
Yeah. Well, it'll be... my son had to come into rehearsals yesterday.
Sorry, mate.
Because he pulled something playing football in the playground. But I love it. He was just looking at it.
Was it?
I wonder if you pull your leg, if talking can make it get better.
Yeah.
Does it work that way around?
It might do.
But yeah, so sorry, what was his response?
Well, he was just there, like, looking, kind of going, yawning a few times. Then he got his book out. We were doing a run of the play.
So, giving the lie to what you were saying.
It's
people want to see it. People want to hear your story.
Yeah, well, he doesn't.
You've got to reach everybody, But he did say later he was a little bit embarrassed.
Yeah, it must be weird watching your mum do something like that. Yeah.
He said, I've never seen you, like, up like that, you know.
Yeah, yeah.
Kind of... I think
up
he was
out.
Saying I look quite happy. He was like, well, yes, this is what I'm supposed to be doing, acting.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
You'd just see me out of
work. I'm used to you looking after me.
Well, I don't you look ashamed, is basically.
Yeah, yeah. But I think they're proud, and Elliot as well. But it's an interesting one.
How old is he?
13 and 10.
Yeah. Right. Yeah.
Which one was
you're going to do?
13.
Yeah.
You're going to do well to get a 13-year-old into sort of movement theatre-y type.
Exactly, yeah. Yeah, at one point I saw him sort of flicking his hair in the mirror because we were rehearsing in Mount Hugh with all these dance mirrors.
he's quite a... talk about narcissism, but they've got to look after themselves, haven't they? Quite a bit of grooming going on with 13-year-olds.
Definitely, yeah.
A lot of hair action, a lot of hair flicks.
It's interesting, like, you know, you've probably experienced this, you just don't know what audience you'll get from one night to the next.
Yeah,
yeah, absolutely.
And when it's a one-person show and you're just literally...
Thank you.
Like the opening of it, I just introduce myself and go, I'm Louise.
Yeah.
And this is the story I'm going to tell you.
Yeah.
Great.
Well, we know about that. You know, you can have the best stand-up material in the world. If you don't meet the audience, if they don't connect with you, then they're not going to find it as funny.
No. No, exactly.
And it doesn't mean you have to do that. You don't have to say, hi, I'm whoever you are. But you've got to connect at some level.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly.
I was thinking this on a Virgin train the other day. It's really...
Were you standing?
Very, very busy. I sat on the floor because I had to.
Oh, I was going to say, you sat outside the loo. Yeah.
And it was, you know, everyone on there was grumpy. It was very full. And basically, there's no room for luggage. And there's people coming on the tannoy telling us it's our fault and we put our luggage in the wrong place. And, you know, it's all well and good. But then, when you get to all their kind of twee advertising... Yeah. Don't flush your old goldfish down the toilet. You think, we're not friends.
Yeah.
So I'm never going to enjoy this. If you provided a good service, and then I went to the toilet and you were all a little bit cheeky, I go, oh, you.
Oh, virgin. Oh, we're such, just like that. Yeah,
exactly. Such a lot of fun. But if you've already irritated me with the customer service, then a little light banter in the toilet is really... Yeah. It's not going to rub me up the right way.
So
there's always a chance. There's always a chance with those toilets that the door's just going to swing open, isn't it? There's that sort of gamble.
Yeah. That's the upside. Yeah, that's the fun stuff.
You've just got to kind of be prepared. And clench everything.
The other thing everyone on there is going, God, I hope this train is over an hour late.
Yeah.
So I'll get my money back.
They put me and the boys, when the boys were about 6 and 4, accidentally in the quiet coach once. Oh dear. Yeah.
So
it didn't go down very well.
It's not going to work out.
And we had people scouting.
Well, you were all right.
I was all right because I couldn't speak. You know, people go, no, it's the quiet coach. I guess I do know that. But they put us in here by accident.
Yeah, yeah.
I've got two boys, you know. I know. Little virgin trained.
So you did your half marathon, you did your 10K.
Yeah.
And how you're coping pretty well today to say you've been chatting constantly. Yeah, we've been going up and downhill.
Up and downhill,
yeah, well, this is kind of what I do anyway. I sort of chat with mates when I'm running.
Right.
It's when it gets any further than this. And like that Finsbury Park one on Sunday, it was a great event, but it was really undulating, actually.
It is, yeah.
It's a hill.
It's not flat Finsbury.
You don't think of it as being hilly.
No.
But if you're continually...
And repeating it hurts,
repeating,
doesn't it?
Yeah. Yeah.
There's a run in the in Wendover Woods on the Chiltern. It's a beautiful place just near where my mum lives. And I thought, I fancy that.
Yeah.
And I had a look at it. It's a 10-mile track up and down hills, yeah, all in the woods.
Yeah.
And it's a 50-mile run, so you go around five times.
Yeah.
And I just think, and I can't even begin, you know. That,
yeah.
You go 8 miles and then you go up a fairly steerous hill. Yeah. And then you get to that hill for the third or the fourth time.
Yeah.
And you're not even on the last one.
Yeah.
But you just, surely you've developed a very negative relationship with that hill.
Yeah. I start swearing normally. Sort of three quarters of the way through.
That's your mantra.
If I'm not happy with the route, you know, if you've not done a route before.
Yeah.
And then it repeats something that you don't want to repeat.
Yeah.
I start going, oh, come on now.
Yeah.
Swearing at it. That was happening again.
So when you go out and say you tend to do the same runs, do you, within those runs, do you do loops or do you do like one big circuit?
I prefer to be going somewhere. That's just my thing. I like runs.
You like an out and back sort of thing?
Yeah, out and back, or you've got a job to do, so you need to go via somewhere, pick something up. So
yeah.
Incorporate it.
I often go to the bank on a run because there's one in the middle of a nice run.
Yeah.
I feel quite bad because all the bank know me as the sweaty guy in life.
Well, I offer, I've got no shame anymore. I'll run places and then sit in a cafe, have a coffee.
Yeah.
Leave a sweatpant.
I used to be so self-conscious now, and then the other day I was in like Lycra shorts and a singlet, just wandering around going about my day. And then you bump into, like you said, another sort of parent from school or whatever.
Yeah.
And they're like, oh, hi.
Yeah.
My neighbour said, oh, look at you in your scuba gear. Yeah.
It's funny how over time you become kind of comfortable in running gear, isn't it? When I first started running, I had the most inappropriate clothing on. Like big thick joggers, everything, you know, every brand gear and everything.
Yeah.
I was absolutely sweltering, but then now I don't care really. I just kind of, it's whatever's easy and comfortable to run in, isn't it?
Yeah. Although, having said that, if you do put plasters on your nipples and then forget and then take your top off, that can be embarrassing.
Ow!
That's the most pleasurable part of a marathon, isn't it? Just preparing for it.
Oh.
Just Vaseline and plasters.
Oh. All that jazz.
All of that jazz.
We've got one in a couple of weeks. We're doing the York Marathon in a couple of weeks.
Are you?
So. Yep. Yeah.
Have you done that one before?
I have.
Robert.
It's really good.
Is it?
Yeah, it's a nice time of year. It's on the same day as the Royal Parks Half Marathon, so it's second weekend in October.
Oh, nice.
And, you know, the cusp of autumn, if there's a better time to be running, I don't know what it is.
Oh, God, it's perfect, isn't it?
I'm not Mind you, I put the kibosh on it now, it's going to be a hurricane or something.
Yeah, I'm not a great summer runner, actually, for two reasons. A, because the kids are off school and it's harder to get those runs in, but also I'm not good running in heat.
Yeah, right.
It's not my natural, but I love running. Don't mind running winter at all.
Yeah.
I like it, you know, if I can wrap them up.
Yeah, get
really
out there.
Enjoy that. Yeah.
I like running in bad weather conditions in general because running is the best thing you can be doing.
Yeah.
You'll be a lot happier than if you're walking.
Yeah, exactly.
Because even if you get wet, it doesn't matter. You're not really going to get cold unless you're running really far.
Yeah.
And then when you get home, you're going to get changed and have a shower anyway.
Yeah, exactly.
And there's, you know, you get a kind of smile.
I really like... thing about heat is you just got to run a bit slower. I like long, slow runs in heat.
Yeah.
Yeah, you love running the heat,
it just helped me get
my head around it, really.
Yeah.
I didn't used to like it, but I like that I can do it.
It reminds me of being a kid in the summer holiday, just running around for hours and hours.
Yeah.
It's just sort of, I don't know, I really like it.
Yeah. I'm a bit like that on my bike, actually. I'm 10 again if I'm on my bike.
Yeah, it's great.
Yeah. But I don't like arid.
See, I'd have been in the treehouse with a big fat book.
Right.
Would you?
Yeah. And you can't really do that for hours and hours. Dad. I'm just catching up with Game of Thrones.
Yeah. My kids have got into that thing of just going into the toilet for ages now.
Oh, no,
yeah, I called up the stairs the other day.
Yeah.
It's a toilet, not an armchair.
Yeah, I totally
trying to get my lad to do homework. I'm off to the toilet. It's just like, as a homework avoidance tactic.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
The hour trip to the toilet
looks
a
totally,
treat.
Oh, yeah, totally, yeah. Yeah. I took my eldest to the orthodontist the other day in Crouch End. He said, oh, should we just walk back to school? He was like that, really dragging his heels. And then he said, oh, I've got a little ache in my ankle. I just need to sit down for a minute. Took us about an hour to get back. And mine just a little croissant on the way home.
So, croissant, yeah. And toilet break.
Yeah, exactly.
I just saw some... more actors going the other way.
Oh, did you?
It's all very showbiz around here.
Very showbiz.
Wasn't really, were they actors?
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, it is, isn't it?
I think I know who it was, but I'll have to look it up and tell you next time.
Yeah. So how many podcasts have you done now?
We're about to get to 40.
Amazing.
Are we really?
Yeah.
Oh, okay. I mean, we started in sort of late January this year.
Yeah.
It's good fun.
Yeah,
but I really like it. It's
idea.
A real laugh.
Yeah.
It's simple.
Yeah.
People like them. Runners like them. It's good to expand out into guests.
Yeah.
And it's like you said about doing the play, you know, it's a nice community. We love connecting to and talking to the people who are listening. You know, it's a dialogue.
Well, this works with the kind of running and talking link, doesn't it? And the whole running play.
It's perfect.
Yeah.
Let's give it a final plug and then we'll call an end because we're getting to the drilling zone.
Yeah, that's right.
So go on then. It's at the...
Pleasance. Go on, you told us. Tell
Pleasance
us again.
Pleasance Theatre. Can you hear me running?
Can you hear me? Is the song in the play?
No, it's not.
That's a shame. It's not a shame. It's not a great song. Can you hear me running? I'm going to get you on your own because I feel like that was a big picture of me and you're our special guest. That's it. No, you look nice because you've got trees and everything. You're what's the word? You're vivified from the running.
Vivified, yeah.
Do you want to know how far we've gone here today?
Oh, yeah, yeah. I don't know how my run can.
Also, are you, where can people find you if they want to, if you want to,
so,
we're sweet on Facebook.
Oh, yeah, so Twitter. Shall I send you the links after? Shall I just...
Well, no, tell us, because then it's on the thing.
Yeah,
our listeners will jump in.
So, Can You Hear Me Run is the Twitter.
Good. Can You Hear Me Run?
Hear Me Run 15 Facebook.
Good.
Can You Hear Me Running .wordpress.com
is the blog.
Is our website.
Oh, okay. Is your blog still up there?
My marathon blog is on the website.
Very good. See, it's all there.
And there's another blog. There's blog upon blog.
Well, I think people are going to want to get into that because they've heard your story now. And come see the play. Head to the website.
And that's the 4th of October till the
23rd.
Brilliant.
Yeah, so lots of different time slots as well, actually.
And do you think there's life for the play beyond that?
I would love it to... There we go.
Well, if the because of course our podcast will be there forever. So if you ever move on, keep us posted, and we'll let future listeners know.
I'm thinking maybe New York Broadway.
Yeah,
and then we can run around Central Park the next.
Let's
time,
all go and do the New York Marathon.
Do the New York 50 Marathon
and all this.
Yeah.
Well, thanks for coming and telling us all about it.
Thank you for letting me run with you. That
Cheers.
Was amazing.
No, it's great. It's really nice.
Great fun. Really good.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. Hello Fresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. Hello Fresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.
get to